Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
Just a little traffic advisory. If you are driving to work on Bee Cave and it's still dark and you get up to West Bank and you make that turn onto West Bank, just avoid the deer because they are active this week.
Have you seen some this
morning?
Oh,
yes. Ah, well, not this morning. I saw one yesterday. In the past few days, I've seen several. So just make sure that you don't speed through there, because if you hit a deer, the deer is going to be the big loser, but so is your car.
Yeah, that one.
All right, speaking of injuries, Sark has come. We don't really know exactly what's going on
this
here.
This is kind of surprising. He's going to be getting an MRI today, but you'd think they could have determined a little more before now. You're talking about
Sark is getting an MRI?
No, Sark has said they don't really know at this point.
Okay, we're talking about Quinn Ewers,
correct,
right? Okay, all right. I'm just trying to get that straight. Yes, Longhorn quarterback Quinn Ewers has a clavicle sprain. That means his collarbone. I don't know what a sprain would be. Would that be the place where the two bones, the left and the right, come together? What doctors would say, articulate?
No, that means you had a 330-pound defensive.
Well, I know, but what did it do to the bone is what I'm asking. I understand what happened to him. I'm trying to figure out what the injury actually is.
Well, if you let me complete the sentence, is that when you have a 330-pound lineman land on top of your bone when it's exactly perpendicular to the ground, it gets squished, and that would be a strain.
So it's a squished clavicle.
Something along those lines.
Yes. All right.
Sometimes they break.
Yeah, I was reading last night, we may be third-string quarterback this weekend.
Yeah, Hudson
UTEP.
Card had an ankle concern, limping around most of the fourth quarter and part of the third. But, boy, howdy again, Lynn. What a game.
Listen to this. Before leaving the game, Ewers had completed 9 of 12 passes for 134 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He was picking Alabama apart.
You were watching.
Of course I was watching.
Yes, weren't we all?
The thing that's so weird about this is Alabama beat us, essentially because both of our quarterbacks were hurt.
Along with the referees.
When Alabama started its big run on the national stage and began winning all those national titles, it was after we played them. We were in the process of beating them, and they knocked Colt McCoy out.
And you had the count the other day. 7-1 was the UT record over Alabama, and that was when they even forgot a game you mentioned last week. So they took one back this weekend.
A Texas teenager has been arrested in a hit and run that left a wheelchair-bound man with serious injuries. From what I heard on Fox News this morning on television, with life-threatening injuries, a 17-year-old arrested for running over a wheelchair-bound man in a North Austin parking lot on September 3, then fleeing the scene. Pablo Antonio Avila Banagas was taken into custody on September the 9th and charged with injury to a disabled person, failure to stop and render aid, and unlawful possession of a firearm.
That sounds like another instance here where perhaps somebody might have been better off behind bars, or certainly had a rap sheet and was out on some type of parole, so to speak. So, interesting. Here we've got a...
Was that true, or were you...
If he's got a police record like that...
Here's what the police say.
We've got to be cracking down
Saturday,
on crime.
September 3, Austin Police Department responded to a call about a male pedestrian who was struck by a vehicle in the parking lot of 9200 North Lamar. The pedestrian suffered from severe, life-threatening injuries. APD officers, AFD, and EMS responded to the scene, and EMS took him to hospital.
Okay.
A preliminary investigation revealed that the pedestrian was crossing the parking lot in his electric wheelchair. When he noticed a vehicle driving recklessly, he signaled the driver to slow down. At that time, the driver struck the pedestrian, and if you've seen the video, head on.
Yes.
It's disgusting.
And everybody is going to be seeing this video today, most likely.
And fled the scene. Patrol officers were able to obtain surveillance footage of the video, and obviously so were the TV stations. During the investigation, APD communications personnel, Region 2 Metro TAC unit, and several Northeast Area Command patrol officers assisted APD detectives in identifying the suspect and vehicle as Pablo Antonio Avila Banagas. He was booked into the Travis County Jail on September 9, charged with failure to stop and render aid, causing serious bodily injuries. That is a third-degree felony. Injury to a disabled person, a second-degree felony. Unlawful carry of a weapon, a firearm, a Class A misdemeanor. Failure to identify in relation to the case, a Class B misdemeanor. And the investigation is ongoing, but that's enough to put this guy behind bars for a while.
Yeah, you're right. I thought that unlawful carry was a previous. I was mistaken there.
I didn't see where that was in there, so that's why I asked. But
you're right.
But, he's a juvenile, 17 years old.
Carrying a gun.
And so they will probably be very light on him. If this guy were to die, then what do? They try this guy as an adult?
Golly. And again, just be careful watching that video because it is very clear exactly what happens, and it is not easy to watch.
Despite the city's move to try to get those in homeless encampments into permanent housing, according to a story by Chad Swiatecki in the Austin Monitor, about half of all temporary shelter inhabitants exit the system and return right to homelessness.
Mm-hmm. I saw a big story on this on the television last night, and our chief homelessness officer was going through and making a presentation, but I don't know. Some of these numbers, they're kind of encouraging if they're accurate, and I guess we got to figure
it out. Hold on.
Yeah.
I read this story. I didn't see anything I was encouraged about. What are you talking about that's encouraging?
Well, when you've got 361 people from 10 encampments have been moved into shelter, that's encouraging, number one. So they're getting into shelter, and I'm looking down here that among the other findings, I can't find it here now. I just was going by what I saw on the television news last night. There was
a big presentation
by Diana Gray, the city's homelessness officer, and it talks about the success of the program.
Okay, let me give some facts.
Yeah.
102 people, 48% of those moved into shelter in the Housing Focused Encampment Assistance Link, that's called the HEAL program, have left the program with no housing available to them, compared to 94 shelter residents advancing into stable housing. So that's 48% that it didn't seem to have a good effect on, and 52% that seemed to improve themselves. At last week's meeting of the council's Public Health Committee, a pair of updates showed the current state of the city's homelessness strategies and gave a look at the housing challenges ahead. And then we get to Diana Gray. She's the homeless strategy officer. She went over all this stuff. Since HEAL's start, 361 people from 10 encampments have been moved into shelter. I might add, at taxpayer expense.
Okay.
So that's not encouraging to me. I want them to fix themselves, not to use my money to fix themselves.
Well,
it's not my problem that they're homeless. If they're mentally ill or they're addicted, then the state has to do something. If they're veterans, the federal government ought to do something. If they're lazy, they ought to do something.
Obviously, you've got your point of view, but Austin's got a problem, Lynn, and we got to do something. I mean, I'm not going to be the first one by any means to stand here and defend the homelessness crisis that's been going on in Austin, but there are people that need to be off the street and they need somebody's help getting off the street. You're right. It used to be nonprofit organizations and probably well could be if the government wasn't taking over that corner of the market. But here in this instance, I agree with you. It's not absolutely stellar performance numbers here at 48% and 52%, but that's better than nothing.
Grace said the structure required to live in the shelter environment may be uncomfortable for those who have lived without any kind of stability.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Do we have problems. Well, Trump suggested a couple of special masters. DOJ said, okay, we'll agree to one of those. So it's just a matter of the judge rubber stamping it, which is what I suspect will happen. We'll tell you who it is and a little background when we come back. And also, CNN's giddy this morning. You won't find it on the Fox website, but you'll find it on the CNN website. And Steve Kathan led off with it on CBS News a minute ago about a lot of subpoenas being issued regarding Trump. We'll have all that and more coming up. Talk 1370, The Right Choice. Cardle and Woolley in the morning, and we'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your daily recommended allowance of logic. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in, 512-643-5483.
Well, it is election season, and that means it's time to go after Trump in every possible way. The special master thing, though, is moving along, and I find this most interesting, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what is going on here. Maybe you can help out.
You surmised it right there. It's time to go after Trump and make him the issue. That's what's going on. But let's get into it.
Well, the Trump forces came up with a couple of possible masters, special masters. Mm-hmm. And the DOJ says, yeah, it's fine with one of them.
Yes.
It's a judge named Raymond J. Deary.
Okay.
All right. U.S. District Judge Eileen M. Cannon has to approve him now. Mm-hmm. His appointment for the document review, which has stalled the Justice Department's criminal probe. So what's the deal here? Why would the Justice Department say, yeah, we'll take this guy if he's somebody that Trump wants? So I checked on him. He's a Reagan appointee. He's an older guy. He's 78 years old. That's still younger than the president, right?
Yes.
Biden's 79, am I right?
He's going to be 80 in November, yeah.
He's on senior status. Mm-hmm. What senior status means, and would that we all could take senior status, except maybe airline pilots. It just means you've got the job for life. You can take cases if you want to. You don't have to take cases if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. So he still maintains a full caseload if he chooses, but can reduce it if he wants to. And he became one of the most highly regarded jurist in New York, serving on the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. That's the FICA court, which oversees FISA. Yes, yeah. I'm sorry. That over FICA is income tax.
FISA is the Russia collusion where the exactly. FBI lied to them.
So yes. He was on that court from 2012 to 2019. And maybe that has something to do with why the DOJ is okay with this guy.
Well, he's had experience in FISA and these.
Well, no, I don't mean that. I mean, maybe they think that he's going to be anti-Trump.
Well, that could very well be. But the point I think that's being missed in all this, yeah, Lynn, this is a next step along the path toward keeping Donald Trump in the news. But what's really going on here, you got to remember the reason they need a special master, quote unquote, is because the FBI's search was too sloppy. They seized clothing, medical records, 500 pages of attorney-client privilege documents, and it was initiated by Donald Trump's chief political opponent. That would be Joe Biden. So if they've got a sloppy investigation going on here, that's the one thing that I think is clear. It's bumbled. They need a special master to siphon through all the stuff is the real reason that they're having it.
I understand that. The question I was asking is, Trump proposed this guy, and the DOJ says, okay, that's the story.
Yes.
Why?
Why did they accept him?
Yes.
Well, why would you assume that Donald Trump can't nominate or come up with a reasonable candidate?
I don't assume anything about Donald Trump. I assume a hell of a lot about the Justice Department.
Well, in asking your question, you're asking
my question is if Donald Trump thinks this guy would be a special master, it would not occur to me that the Justice Department would okay it.
Well, obviously it has. So you need to broaden your thinking. I'm saying that Donald Trump every now and then might actually come up with somebody who's a legitimate candidate.
I want to know what kind of secret code messages were embedded in those Time magazine covers. I'm sure that's the thing. If this were a novel, that's what it would be.
All right, here's a
CBS News advisory.
Mm-hmm.
More than 30 people associated with former President Trump and efforts to influence the 2020 election have received federal grand jury subpoenas. This is, as I said, from CBS, but it's all over the news. Mm-hmm. The subpoenas, some of which were issued last week, mark a significant escalation in the department's investigation into the origins of good old January 6th. So yesterday, I'm at the Micromansion trying to get some news.
Okay.
Before I went on to a couple of emergencies I had in another part of my life.
Okay.
But Fox was doing endless video of the Queen's casket.
Yes.
Endless video.
Well, of course.
CNN was reliably doing January 6th stories because that's what they do. And I can't remember if I looked I think MSNBC was running Joe Biden's moonshot thing. So
I
didn't care anything about that. This guy's a liar. He's been saying this for years. He's never done a thing.
But he did make a speech.
So the subpoenas were issued last week,
mm-hmm.
and now they're all over the news.
Mm-hmm.
So are we talking about inflation?
No.
Are we talking about the border crisis? You
no.
and I will be.
Yep.
But the mainstream media now has a reason to keep talking about Donald Trump. Do you think that that might be why these subpoenas were issued at this time?
I think that's why Joe Biden's approval rating is down in the 30%, and the National Democrats are going to get handed their hat here in November because they're not talking about inflation and gas prices.
Well, they don't want to.
I don't know, Lynn. You know, the rule has been that 60 days out from an election, these types of things typically don't happen. The Democrats clearly have become unhinged. They're suffering from a historical case of Trump derangement syndrome. I don't know. You know, you got to keep proceeding, I guess, at some point. But if I were them, I'd quit digging the hole is what I'd quit doing.
Well, they don't think they're digging a hole.
That's the point. They are wrong. And they're going to be handed their hat as a result of it. That's my guess.
Jim, I hope I have to buy you lunch, but it does worry me. We're not near as aggressive as they are.
Well,
they are aggressively working to win this election and doing it by smearing MAGA, by smearing Donald Trump, by making January 6th the news story that keeps on giving to the left. And they're not going to stop it until Joe Biden until the Democrats have won the midterms. All right, Talk 1370 is the right choice. Cardle and Woolley in the morning. We'll be right back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Keeping Austin logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation, 512-643-5483.
All right, it's Cardle and Woolley in the morning. That's Lynn Woolley. That would be me. Jim Cardle is this other guy over here in the beautiful cap.
I've
just
got
a nice yellow cap there.
Little,
that's hot.
Pastel color here and trying to brighten your world.
Oh, it's just lovely.
Is my goal
May I do a couple of stories about two different robots?
Please do.
All right, well, let's start with this robot. GM's Cruise Robo-Taxi expanding into two cities. One of them is Phoenix. You want to guess the other one?
Might it be Austin?
Of course.
Yes. Austin, Texas, baby.
General Motors self-driving car company announced plans to expand a robo-taxi service that recently launched in California into Phoenix and Austin. It's already working out in parts of San Francisco during the nighttime hours. The ride-hailing service will transport passengers in vehicles that will not have a safety driver in them to take control if the robotic technology malfunctions. Question to Jim Cardle.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ride it?
For the novelty, I guess. I'm not one that generally needs this type of thing. But say I did go to Phoenix and I needed to get around.
Well, say you're in Austin and you needed to get around.
Well, what I just said is that I don't need to generally get around with somebody else's help in Austin. But should I go to Phoenix, perhaps, I would probably not. I'd like to visit with a local citizen, whether it be Uber or a cab driver, and find out what's going on in the community. But we've been talking about this, and we mentioned the name George Jetson yesterday. Things like this have been on the horizon, and here we are. I don't know that that it's all going to happen as quickly as some of the left is perhaps saying that it might with these electric cars and so forth because of the battery production costs and where the contents for a battery comes from. But I would say the answer for me is no. How about you, Lynn Woolley? If you went to Phoenix, would you try one?
Hell no.
There you go.
I don't think we're anywhere close to that. And speaking of George, I've been trying for a long time to set up an interview with his boy Elroy, but so far no luck. Now, the other robot I wanted to talk about was on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd.
Oh, I like that transition. The queen of cackle. There she is.
The first question from Chuck Todd is about the threat from within. Now, Harris rambles, I'm going to suggest that there might be a lie embedded in this. We can listen to it and decide if we think there is.
I'll confirm it if it's so.
But this is all about how awful MAGA Republicans are, how awful half of American voters are, how awful half of the people in the country are, who are actually constituents of hers and Joe Biden's.
You mean
and
the 84% of likely U.S. voters who think the economy is a concern? Yeah.
I understand. This is what I'm trying to get through to you. On 9/11, Biden politicized the holiday to attack Trump.
He did.
Harris politicized it.
Over the weekend.
Most all of the Democrats were out politicizing 9/11 and talking about the threat to America, which is, of course, anybody that voted for Trump, not
yes.
radical Islam, but anybody that voted for Trump. So here we go. What about the threat from within?
I think it is very dangerous, and I think it is very harmful, and it makes us weaker. You know, I have met with, and I've had conversations with over 100 foreign heads of state.
Uh-huh.
Presidents, prime ministers, chancellors, kings.
School supers.
And, you know, when we as the United States walk into those rooms around the world, we have had the honor and privilege historically of holding our head up as a defender and an example of a great democracy.
Mm-hmm.
What in the heck is she talking about?
Two questions here. Two questions. Number one, has Kamala Harris met with hundreds of world leaders and heads of state?
No.
Question number two.
Why?
Is Chuck Todd trying to rehabilitate this woman?
Absolutely. That's what he does for a living. He's a mouthpiece of the White House.
All right. Everybody Harris bemoans that. Election deniers. Now, this is very interesting and most entertaining to me, because I can sit here and name you the election deniers. Donald Trump is one of them.
Election deniers, Lynn? That's a leftist phrase. What people
No, it's not. There's a lot of good election deniers. There's Hillary Clinton. There's Stacey
exactly.
Abrams. And do you see the term on the cut sheet here that says WAPO?
Yes.
What did you just hold up to me a minute ago?
The Washington Post from January 20, 2017. Headline reading, the campaign to impeach President Trump has begun.
All right. That sounds like kind of trying to deny an election myself. But here's what Harris said.
So you look at everything from the fact there are 11 people right now running for Secretary of State, the keepers of the integrity of the voting system of their state, who are election deniers. You've got...
And what's that sending? What message does that send to the world?
Well, you couple that with people who hold some of the highest elected offices in our country who refuse to condemn an insurrection on January 6th. And I think what it sends is a signal that causes people to question, hey, is America still valuing what they talk about, which is the integrity of democracies, which means protecting rule of law and the sanctity of these systems and speaking up when they are attacked.
Do you not see, Kamala Harris, the nose on your face, Lynn? What she's talking about there is that people are sick and tired of the Democrat liberal hoo-ha. They are nominating people all across the country who are going to take things back from these crazy woke Democrats, and they are going to do something about it. And she's trying to, I think, unsuccessfully, and Chuck Todd thinks he's doing her a favor. When they talk about this stuff, they are just reinforcing to the American public that they need to go to the polls. I know you have a little bit different opinion, but the polls show that 84% of Americans are concerned about the economy and 65% think we're headed in the wrong track. Those are losing numbers for Kamala Harris.
Okay. I got the impression listening to that clip. I asked you earlier,
yes.
Is Chuck Todd trying to rehabilitate her image? Did you hear the body language within his question that was in the middle of that?
Oh, it was so comforting.
It said to me, I am interviewing a very stupid human being. That's what I got out of it, and it got worse. His questions, his demeanor on his questions kept getting worse and worse as this went on. Now, here is Todd. 70% of Republicans don't believe Biden-Harris is legit. She disputes those polls and then promptly changes the subject.
I find that polling interesting, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm traveling the country. We're here in Houston. I was in, you know, North Carolina. I've been traveling all over the country. I don't find that. I don't get that kind of sense or feedback.
You think you talk to a lot of Republicans?
I talk to a lot of Americans. Okay. And I'll tell you, when I talk to folks and they know that, for example, there was a bipartisan infrastructure law that, in Durham is going to fix I-40, or here in Houston is going to fix Telephone Road, those are some of their priorities. When I talk to people about what we're doing, that we're going to make sure, especially after the pandemic, that all families, all working families, have access to affordable high-speed internet, and we're going to bring the cost of it down, less $30 a month, plus people are going to get a $100 voucher to buy a laptop or an iPad. People want to hear that. Look what happened in Kansas on the issue of choice.
We're going to buy everybody a laptop. We're going to fix Telephone Road.
She says, I don't find that. Yet she says, I don't find that, after she just mentioned that 11 states have nominated people who are going to take the elections back because they think the Democrats boogered everything. She's inconsistent and discombobulating her own facts there. This is ridiculous, and I'm encouraged by it.
Well, I'll go by one other N-word. I just think she's incoherent. Uh-huh. I don't think she makes the least bit of sense, and you could see it in Todd. He's going, what in the hell? Who am I interviewing? Mm-hmm. Talk 1370 is the right choice. Cardle and Woolley in the morning. And we'll be right back.
Just two rejected applicants for the Biden Ministry of Truth.
We choose truth over facts.
Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Sound off on the day's top stories. 512-643-5483.
I'm no big Prince Charles fan. King Charles III. I think he's a nutcase. But I did like the Queen. I've made that very plain that I thought she was an exceptional young woman who grew gracefully over the decades and has been a constant in the world for the last 70 to 80 years. However, I do not plan to sit at the Micro Mansion with the TV on and watch endless video of her casket being moved from one place to another.
Tomorrow's the first day where she lies. Yeah, they don't call it Lion State.
I don't care what they call it. That does not interest me one bit.
Well,
my point.
I think here that's clear.
Here is one thing that did interest me.
Okay.
And that is when left-wing woke Christiane Amanpour goes on and starts opening her pie hole.
You're being generous there, yes.
I think so, too.
She's been ridden off into the sunset, but somehow, I guess because she's a British-speaking person and clearly has a history there, you go back to these quote-unquote experts from the land. What do you got?
Well, she demands that King Charles III address Black Lives Matter.
Oh, say what?
And possible reparations for wealth generated from the former colonies. This is beyond the pale to me. It's just wokeness to an extent.
Couldn't make it up.
No, you can't make it up. Here is what she said.
We have to have this conversation right now, even at this moment.
Because different demographics, different people were listening for different reasons.
And look what he said. In the 70 years of her being on the throne, many cultures and many faiths have flourished in these past seven decades. But there is an ongoing, particularly in the wake of Black Lives Matter, particularly in the protests that erupted all over the world after what happened in Minnesota, here as well, in France, in other parts of these nations that had colonial servants, let's face it. People were in service to this empire. The wealth of this empire was derived on the back of the people of their empire.
On display in the palace.
Right, on display everywhere, and in the crown, and everywhere.
Oh my gosh. Do we have some statues of the Queen that we could tear down by any chance? So we can send a few of our liberals over there to screw up their country.
Well, and that's evidence further of why CNN's ratings are in the tank. Why anybody would set up some programming where you're talking about what? Reparations? And you're talking about the negatives as opposed to the positives. People are desperately needing hope and an ideal for the future as this queen is laid to rest in this questionable, or there's always going to be questions about the new heir, but in fact, what we get is exactly the opposite. This is not what's, and then they talk about the wrong subjects to boot. This is just Harvard case study almost of how not to cover a story is what I would say.
Well, and with Don Lemon, too.
Yes.
All right, so Amanpour
exactly.
Amanpour wants answers, justice, and reparations.
So what we're saying is that there is the generation of multicultural and diverse Britons who want this answered, who want to see their monarch finally talk about what it means and what, you know, potentially the idea of reparations, definitely justice, right? Justice. And I think Prince Harry, and you know this better than me, sorry, Prince William, who's the Prince of Wales and the heir, the next king, he talked about it, having been criticized for a trip that he made in the Caribbean, and again, a colonial legacy, that we must have this discussion and it must be up to those countries, but it also has to be had in this country as well.
What an idiot. Now, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Does she want Britain to pay reparations to China?
Oh, heck no. I haven't
Wait. How do you know?
Well, you're right. She may very well.
Because Hong Kong is part of China. It was part of the British Empire.
What about
the Falklands? Do we have to pay? Did the British have to pay reparations to the Falklands?
The nation of India?
What about Canada? What about Australia? What about New Zealand? What in the world is this woman talking about?
And it's demented, Lynn. The poor lady, the queen's not even in the ground yet. People are wanting to talk about her wonderful legacy, not the future woke agenda.
May I make a prediction here?
You may, sure.
I think Amanpour just sealed her doom at CNN.
I would hope so.
I think Chris Licht is going to boot her out the door for being stupid.
That's a very good point. He's been cleaning up CNN as the new CEO.
I mean, it's
Godspeed to him.
What is it? What is with the audio this morning? Kamala and now Amanpour, and there's not a lick of sense between the two of them.
No, and that's because that's what the liberal media is nowadays. They don't have a lick of sense, and I'm convinced the American public and now the English public is going to be wising up because they're sick of the perspective.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens as we come up to the break here. There's some very interesting stuff still in the stack. In fact, some of our best stories are still there, so you don't want to go anywhere. We've got more coming up, Jim, of that Chuck Todd interview on Meet the Depressed with the Vice President, Kamala Harris, who was very robotic and very Kamala-like as she answered those questions somewhat insanely. So we'll be back with all that. Talk 1370 is the right choice. Cardinal and Woolley in the morning.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardinal and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardinal and Woolley.
And there is some new financial news, economic news out, some new numbers, and this comes out from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Yes. Interesting. It's, I guess the lead headline is going to be the overall number going from 8.5% to 8.3%.
Come on, man.
But you look in the guts of that, Lynn, and the increases for food, shelter, and medical care are up. Electricity up 15.8%. Utility like pipe gas services up 33%. Food at home up 13.5%. These are significant numbers, and it's what all Americans are talking about. But yet we heard Kamala Harris talking about broadband earlier with your clips. We heard Joe Biden up in Boston talking about the airport and infrastructure. I think this is what most Americans are being smacked upside the head with and are worried about, and that's why the polls show that substantial numbers like 75% think the nation's going in the wrong direction. We got problems to address, and none of the Democrat leadership's talking about it.
You know I'm
logical.
That's
a bunch of malarkey.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so if
What's your point? If
8.5% inflation— Biden told us it was zero.
Correct.
So at 8.3, we would be below zero, right?
Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
So things are cheaper. I mean, things are like absolutely being given away out there in those grocery stores.
That's what
right
he'll
now
try and claim, that inflation is not only zero, but that it's gone down. And even gasoline, Lynn, for the last 12 months, gasoline's up 25%. That's a big increase.
Well, the gasoline's got to go down before the midterms. After the midterms, I expect that somehow magically it will go back up again, but we'll see. You know, something I saw yesterday, and mm-hmm, I want to give Jesse Waters full credit for doing this.
Okay.
I guess he did it. It was on his show. He took George W. Bush's speech on 9/11 at Ground Zero.
Okay.
Where Bush was making some points about freedom and some points about America being strong in the face of problems and America facing our enemies and all that.
Yes.
And he would take 10 seconds of that Bush speech and he would run it, and then it would flip to the other screen. They had two faces up on the screen, the other one being Joe Biden. And the other screen would have Joe at the red speech. You remember the Nazi-looking speech that he had a week and a half or so ago?
About the soul of America.
Of America and the MAGA. And essentially, it looked like that they had gone back, transcribed the Bush speech, and that Biden had used it, making obvious changes. Instead of Al-Qaeda being the enemy, MAGA is the enemy. And I'm thinking, this guy is 79 years old, and he's still plagiarizing.
Yes, he is. He started off lying about his college degrees, that he had three
the
degrees instead of one.
The cadence was the same. The terminology was the same. He just got rid of our Osama bin Laden type language and put in MAGA.
Well, psychiatrists would call that pathological liars. Yeah, he's been misrepresenting his life and his story for so long, he doesn't know how to do anything different. And that's what's going on here. And when most Americans just watch him speak, let alone the content, but just watching him speak, as you mentioned that red speech the other day in Philadelphia, it looked, the comparisons to Hitler were a bit of a stretch, most reasonable people would say, but his body language, his clenched fists, his open mouth for emphasis and yelling the points.
Do you remember Gary Hart?
Insulting Americans is what he's doing.
Do you remember Gary Hart?
Absolutely. Real Senator name, from Colorado.
Real name Hart Pence.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember what he used to do on the campaign trail?
When he wasn't having women sit
well,
in
I understand
his lap.
That, but yes. No, he would study. He would study video of John F. Kennedy and mimic his voice. Not the cadence of his voice, you know, let me say this about that. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that kind of thing.
That was very good.
Well, thank you. But he would mimic all of John Kennedy's hand expressions, all of his body language. He would try to use his phraseology,
uh-huh,
try to be as John Kennedy-like as he could. I think Biden is onto this, too. I think what Biden does is he finds a speech that everybody revered, and he goes back and he looks at it, and he gets a transcript, and then he watches the other guy do it on videotape, and then he tries to emulate that. Seriously, his red speech was taken from George W. Bush on 9/11.
Even with the hand gestures and everything, I just remember seeing his both hands clenched fist
I don't
raised
know so
up
much
to
about
about
the,
his chin.
I don't
level.
Know so much about the hand gestures. Yeah. Now I did see somebody do something about those clenched fists coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting, too. That was a show of left-wing strength, I believe.
Who knows what it was, Lynn? The whole speech shouldn't have been given. It's critical to the American public.
He's but look around at other speeches, and you'll find somebody doing that. He doesn't do anything original.
That's true.
All right, so Kamala was asked about this.
Okay.
Chuck Todd on Meet the Press, ask Kamala Harris about Biden's charge against MAGA folks, and her answer was, well, you know, she don't know.
What is a semi-fascist?
Listen, I think that let's not get caught up in politicizing the fact that most people in America know that it is not helpful to our country when we have people who are denying elections or trying to obstruct the outcome of an election where the largest number of people in our country voted for the president of the United States. And when we look at where we are, I think that we have to admit that there are attacks from within, to your first question, and we need to take it seriously. And we need to stand up together, all of us, and think of this not through partisan lens, but as Americans.
Okay. Jim, can you give me a 30-second analysis of that rambling clip?
No, but I'll tell you what she really said. It's discombobulated, to say the least. When she says we have to look at where we are, yeah, we got inflation. Consumer prices just came out. That's not good. Number two, and we have enemies from within. That is attacking her own voters. That's not a positive winning campaign.
This, I think, is when Chuck Todd just finally admitted to himself, this woman's crazy. I honestly thought, when she said, well, we have to look at here we are, where we are, that she was going to say, we are here, right now, today, here we are, there we go.
Where we are. Yes.
Yeah, no matter where you go, there you are.
Mm-hmm.
This woman is just a rambler, and it's interesting, but it's not, listening to her speak is interesting, but it is not comforting. You think this woman
exactly.
is one heartbeat from the presidency, and at a time when we have a 79-year-old president who isn't in the greatest of mental health, and this woman could actually be president. Now, here she is. Todd revisits Biden's inaugural Unite speech, you know, when he said, we should all be together. I'll be the president for everybody.
The
you know,
uniter in chief.
Except MAGA. And does she ever have an answer for him? Well, no, she doesn't.
I think back to the president's inaugural address, mm-hmm. and he said the following: politics need not be a raging fire destroying everything in its path.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think about the construction, the language construction he used with semi-fascist. And I understand the dilemma. You got to call it out in order to bring the country together. But it's hard to do both at the same time, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, let's talk about our president for a moment. Joe Biden has spent his entire career, it is on for all to see, working across the aisle, his whole career. Sometimes he's been criticized for believing in bipartisanship.
Well, sometimes he even came in on weekends. I mean, this is just...
No, he didn't.
Joe Biden is the most star-spangled, American, red-blooded president. So wonderful, so bipartisan, so Manchin-like. I mean, there is just absolutely nothing about him. He is the second coming
of
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell she was trying to say there, but that's not the Joe Biden I see. Is that the Joe Biden you see?
No, they're in a tough spot. They can't stand on their record. You got rampant open borders that they say are closed. You've got record energy prices that they say we should transition to electric cars. You've got people and kids dying of fentanyl. You've got police defunded. You've got the Afghan withdrawal that people still pay attention. And now you've got student loans that the average American thinks they're going to be paying for some elitist college degree that's not worth anything. They've got trouble trying to defend themselves is the bottom line.
Logically discussing the issues Austin cares about. Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
We will take a call momentarily. I do want to mention, we talked about this briefly yesterday, Mr. Cardle,
uh-huh.
but it has popped back up. 9/11 mastermind, that is a Sheikh Mohammed Khalid or Sheikh Khalid Mohammed, I think
yeah.
that's right.
Yes.
Can escape death penalty with a plea deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say on Texas Insider, that might be a nice big story to headline. It's one of those things where when people hear this, they go, what the?
Exactly.
And especially if you had somebody killed on 9/11, well, why do we want to let the mastermind of 9/11 not have the death penalty? And
that's
as I asked
question.
Yesterday, why is Malik Hassan still alive after
mm-hmm.
killing 13 people at Fort Hood? What seems like 2 decades ago, it was over a decade, I feel pretty sure, the United States government reportedly negotiating plea deals that could take the death penalty off the table for the 5 defendants charged with planning and executing the September 11 attacks. This is from Chris Pandolfo at The Blaze. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Now, I got the names right that time.
Mm-mm-mm.
The self-proclaimed mastermind between the 9/11 attacks and 4 other Gitmo Club detainees were charged in 2008 with the murder of nearly 3,000 people.
Yep.
Prosecutors sought the death penalty, but they have evaded justice for their crimes as the for decades as their cases progress through the military commission system.
Another example of what government touches usually goes to yogurt or something.
You remember
the
Rosenbergs?
They're forever, a decade later, what in the world's going on? Do I remember who?
The Rosenbergs.
Vaguely.
Yeah, well, Ethel and Julius, if my mind is correct.
Okay.
The Rosenbergs stole nuclear secrets, gave them to the Russians, and
they were executed.
We gave them a nice jolt each.
Back when
in the electric chair.
When treason actually meant something and we actually carried out our... What a novel idea, Lynn, that we would carry out our own nation's laws.
As I said, these five people should be executed. It should be...
televised in the public square.
It should be. And lots of warnings to the children, although maybe some of the children ought to see this kind of thing.
I mean,
this is the kind of thing where we need to make a major example.
Yep. If we were smart, we'd do it on pay-per-view and make some money for the Texas taxpayer.
Before we go to Stephen's call, answer me this, or riddle me this, Batman.
Sure.
Why is it we've got Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in custody? We know he did it. There's no more value from him. We put as many bamboo shoots under his fingernails as we possibly can, and you know he's talked all he's going to talk. Why are we so hesitant? But we don't have any problem at all with going after al-Baghdadi or Suleiman or some of these guys. If we take them out in a missile, we don't worry about the military chain of justice or whatever. We just take them out.
Well, you're raising a good point. There is a constitutional right to a speedy trial. That certainly isn't happening here.
Well, let me ask you another question.
Okay.
Does Khalid Sheikh Mohammed have any constitutional rights?
Well, that's a legitimate question.
And what about if he's at Gitmo?
Not a citizen of the United States.
What was the point of Gitmo?
To keep dangerous individuals off American land.
No.
What?
It was to keep, yes, but it was to keep them from coming over here and lawyering up and getting full constitutional rights by being on our shores. Being at Gitmo, they were in a place where we could actually, essentially do what we wanted to with
execute and try and provide them speedy justice. That would be the thinking. It's not being done.
I don't understand. I don't understand the military system of justice. I don't understand why Biden isn't making a primetime speech on how this guy ought to fry.
He'd be smart if he did that, and that's why he's not doing it.
And I also don't understand why he survived 4 years of Donald Trump's administration, except Trump probably would have wanted to take him out. But then you get lawyered up, and there you are. Stephen in Round Rock, good morning.
Good morning. Well, I think part of the reason why we see all our liberal friends' hair, blazing on fire is because they're kind of torn because they're all parasites. And when they attack MAGA and the people who actually produce in this country, they realize that they are biting the hand that feeds them.
A lot to that statement as to what's going on now, yes.
That's correct.
You're saying the Democrats need MAGA because they need a straw man. They need a villain. They need somebody to attack.
No, I'm not even talking about it in a political way. I'm talking about the people who actually work the hardest, the people who make the country go. A lot of those people are MAGA.
Wait. The people that are producers, the people that actually contribute to society, you're talking about like black studies professors. You're talking about people that go out and become diversity czars, stuff like that?
No, I think those people fall into the other class. That would be the parasitic class. Those people can't have those sorts of silly, stupid jobs without the producers actually producing food and taking care of all the logistics and the infrastructure that makes civilization actually function. The people who tend to dwell and produce and make civilization actually function, they're honest.
Gotcha. All right, let me throw this out on the table, Stephen, and I'll let you comment on it before we get to the bottom of the hour. We had a couple of months ago constant news stories that there was going to be a red wave, that the Democrats were going to get steamrolled by the Republicans. The Democrats did not sit back and wait to see what happened. The Democrats adopted a strategy. The strategy that the Democrats adopted was to disparage anybody that ever voted for Trump, call us domestic terrorists, say that MAGA people are the second coming of Satan, call us semi-fascists, call us Neanderthals, a basket of deplorables, anything you can think of.
Insult
but they
us.
Are doing their best to completely destroy their opposition politically. And to me, that's what happens in the Soviet Union back in the day. So do you think it's working for them?
I don't think it's working at all. That's why the flames on top of their head grow higher and higher, and their hair must be this infinite resource of energy because their hair just keeps burning on fire.
Yeah, Lynn, what I agree with Stephen. What's going on right now, and you are correct, they are doing a good job. The media and the left is trying to get us to focus on their unending effort to get Donald Trump. Our job is to stay focused on the issues that matter in the lives of everyday living. Inflation, skyrocketing food. I suspect we're going to start seeing some Republican candidates campaign at gas stations and grocery stores. We need to focus on what's going on in our classrooms. And the sleeper issue is going to be the crime. These are things I would bet that folks like Stephen are paying attention to. Not the left's drivel. They're trying hard, and they may be getting in our head a little bit every now and then. We got to stay focused and not grab the shiny object on the side.
So, okay, if you look at the big issues, the Afghanistan withdrawal disaster that continues to plague us and has made this country far more likely to be attacked again, the rampant inflation, the border crisis, all the stupid things, the spending that Joe Biden does, is that worse than telling little girls or teenage girls they can have top surgery?
I don't know if it's coming or going. I do know that I saw the other day that 20 million Americans are behind on their utility bills, and now utility inflation's just come out going up 15%. That's what Americans are thinking about.
All right, Talk 1370 is the right choice. Cardle and Woolley in the morning. UT Austin professor has filed a lawsuit that involves the Aggies. We'll have that story for you coming up. Don't go away.
Live, local, and taking your calls at 512-643-5483. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
All right, file this story under Woke Texas A&M because my Aggie friends tell me constantly that UT is a cesspool of wokeness, but Texas A&M is all conservative. I say it's a college.
Uh-huh.
It's a university, and it's woke. A UT professor, and this is a nifty little story in the Texas Tribune written by, let me see if I can get the writer here, Kate McGee. That Texas A&M has a little faculty hiring program called ACES. It all stands for something. And it essentially, they want to hire mid-range faculty, mid-career faculty. So faculty that's not starting out, and they're not at the end of their career, but they're in the mid-range there. They want to hire, let me see, I've got the list here, more African-Americans, more Hispanics, more Latino-Americans, more Native Americans, more Alaskan natives. I didn't realize that people who come from a certain state can be a minority just because they come from a certain state. And more Native Hawaiians. So there's another one.
Well,
Alaskan natives and
those
Native
Texas.
Hawaiians.
Yeah.
All right. So Richard Lowry, who is a finance professor at UT Austin, a white guy, says, I notice I'm left out of this.
Mm-hmm.
He's represented by America First Legal, a group created by Stephen Miller, who is a Trumpite.
Mm-hmm.
The lawsuit says, quote, Professor Lowry sues on behalf of a class of all white and Asian men who stand able and ready to apply for faculty appointments at Texas A&M. Texas A&M is not UT. It is not supposed to be left-leaning. It is supposed to be conservative. My question to you is this conservative?
I would say not. A lot of folks will know that A&M's run now by and has been for quite a while by former Democrat lieutenant governor candidate John Sharp,
yep,
Your reference there to the ACEs program, by the way, stands for Accountability, Climate, Equity, and Scholarship Faculty Fellows Program. And that their goal is to establish a faculty that's in parity with the state of Texas. You're right, Lynn. What are we doing talking about Alaskan Natives and Native Hawaiians and the like here? And this has been tried in a number of places. It's against the Constitution to be favoring one group of people over another.
All right, so just don't give me this A&M isn't woke stuff. I'm not buying it.
Yep.
All right, Kamala Harris. Two more clips because they're just beautiful and because we can.
Yes.
This is Kamala at her insane best. And we're talking about courts here, a lawsuit against Texas A&M for being too woke. Harris no like of the Supreme Court, but she has zero understanding about how it works. She has no clue what the Dobbs ruling really was. She gives false answers.
I think back to the president's inaugural address, mm-hmm. and he said the following: politics need not be a raging fire.
All right, and that was the wrong clip. So sorry.
I think this is an activist court.
What does that mean?
It means that we had an established
spit it out
right for almost half a century, which is the right of women to make decisions about their own body as an extension of what we have decided to be the privacy rights to which all people are entitled. And this court took that constitutional right away. And we are suffering as a nation because of it. That causes me great concern about the integrity of the court overall, especially as someone who my life was inspired by people like Thurgood Marshall, the work on that court of Earl Warren to bring a unanimous court to pass Brown v. Board of Education.
Oh, boy, she gets to Brown versus Board of Education. America is suffering because the Supreme Court couldn't find the word privacy in the, or abortion for that matter, in the Constitution and made a correct ruling and sent it back to the states. She has no clue.
She said right there that abortion is a constitutional right. That is not accurate, Lynn. That's not true.
Well,
that's
under Roe v. Wade, but Roe v. Wade was a
court decision.
No, Roe v. Wade was an erroneous court decision.
But
I don't care who's on the Supreme Court. If you're trying to find a right to privacy, it's not there. If you're trying to find a right to kill your own child in the womb, it's not there. And therefore,
it's a constitutional right.
That's what she said. That's why I said she's wrong.
Exactly.
And what the Supreme Court did was not take away a woman's right to choose. That's just wrong. What the Supreme Court did was send Roe v. Wade back to the states. They found it unconstitutional. And now the states can decide.
Yes.
In California, abortions are perfectly legal.
So adhering to the law, to her, is being an activist court. Go figure.
Well, that's the left-wing talking point. It's not accurate in any way. And then we get to the border, which is, of course, her specialty. She's quite the expert.
She's the czar.
On the border. Yes, mm-hmm. She's the border czar. And her answer, I don't know. I just tried to describe it on the cut sheet. Her answer is as stupid as it gets, and then some.
Would you call the border secure?
I think that there is no question that we have to do what the president and I asked Congress to do. Is the first request we made, pass a bill to create a pathway to citizenship. The border is secure, but we also have a broken immigration system, in particular over the last 4 years before we came in, and it needs to be fixed.
We're going to have 2 million people cross this border for the first time ever. You're confident this border is secure?
We have a secure border in that is a priority for any nation, including ours and our administration. But there are still a lot of problems that we are trying to fix, given the deterioration that happened over the last 4 years. We also have to put in place a law and a plan for a pathway for citizenship for the millions of people who are here and are prepared to do what is legally required to gain citizenship.
Okay, three things out of that, and then I'll let you analyze it.
All right.
All right, number one, he asks her if the border is secure. She answers by saying, we need a pathway to citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
He asks her again, is the border secure? And he asks her in hushed, clipped tones like you would ask a moron. And she said, yes, the border is secure, but we need a path to citizenship. And then the third thing I got out of this is the border's a complete total mess, and it's Trump's fault.
Yep.
It was a mess when Trump was in office, and we're fixing it by essentially leaving it completely open.
Chuck Todd even mentions the number, 2 million people coming across the border. That's bigger than the city of Austin, folks, and they're being shipped around the country at the dead of night by the Biden administration. When she says the border is secure, Lynn, she can't be saying that and know that it's a true answer, number one. And number two, Democrats control Congress and the White House. If they want to pass a bill, as she claims we need to do, pass a bill that has a secure path to citizenship, why haven't they done it? That's the $64 million question.
The Texas Tribune, James, I've been working on how to say his last name. I think it's Barragan.
Okay.
Barragan of the Texas Tribune. The headline is interesting.
It is.
It's interesting for a left-wing newspaper that they would use this headline. Mm-hmm. I have to give them some props here. Along the Texas-Mexico border, GOP enthusiasm mounts as Democrats defect over immigration concerns.
Yep. I tell you, that's going on everywhere down there because of this very Biden border crisis. I noted in here that 2 years ago when State Senator Pete Flores was running successfully, mind you, as a Republican down in the valley, not many people, if anybody, would take a yard sign and put it in their yard. Now they're passing out over 500 President Trump signs in 2020, and Flores' signs are going everywhere. People are coming out of the closet, and it's because of the border, and that just opens their eyes to all the other issues like hard work and religious issues and gun rights and so forth. They've now been lied to, and that's a big step.
I think the people along the border, the Democrats, have been slapped in the face with reality.
Exactly.
What Biden says is one thing. What's real is something totally different. And they're talking about a Democrat who had a 17,000-acre ranch, and visitors who came to hunt wild game started stumbling upon bodies of migrants.
Yep.
That's illegal immigrants who died of heat. One day, her husband was outside feeding animals when he saw state police arresting a group of 49 illegal aliens.
Yep.
And they began to worry about the safety of their family. And the Democrats are crazy on this issue. And when you just hear people like Kamala Harris say the dumb things that she just said. Is the border secure, Kamala? We need a path to citizenship.
And
is the border secure, Kamala? Yes, the border is secure. Is the border secure, Kamala? Well, the border was just fine under us, but under Trump, that's where all the problems were. It was all Trump, but it's not. It's all Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Democrats know it, and that's why they're defecting.
And the biggest factor that indicates they are considering it as a defecting situation is that you've got three strong Republican women running for Congress down there, and the Republicans are spending more money and the Democrats are spending less. They know with their actions what's going on and where they should best spend their time and resources.
KXAN runs a fact check, and it's kind of funny. We'll have that for you when we come back. By the way, it involves Democrats and Abbott. Back in just a moment. Talk 1370, the right choice. Jim and I will be right back.
What is going on with you two?
It's time for Cardle and Woolley's News to Know.
Stay tuned to this station for further news flashes.
Before you go.
And here we go.
You know, Jim, I don't always believe the fact checkers because the fact checkers have agendas just like the rest of us do.
That they do.
There's an interesting piece by Jayla Washington posted by Nexstar, which is a part of KXAN or KXAN's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that this comes from a dark money ad.
Yes. People with deep pockets who put it into a 501c3 that hires or starts running ads, and you can't trace where the money's coming from.
All right. So this ad is accusing Greg Abbott of a lot of things. Strict abortion laws, electricity, grid mismanagement, higher property taxes, 18-year-olds being able to buy rifles, border shutdowns causing supply chain issues. So Jayla Washington watched the video with a St. Edward's political science professor named Brian Smith to analyze and fact-check it.
Mm-hmm.
4 years of sorrow, tears, anguish, the narrator said at the beginning of the ad. Santa Fe school shooting, El Paso Walmart, Uvalde massacre, our children, teachers. And this guy at St. Edward's.
Brian Smith.
He says none of that can be blamed on Governor
Abbott. That's not Abbott at all. That's a federal judge saying the Second Amendment applies to 18-year-olds. Of course, these are all mistruths. The grid system that Beto started his campaign on, saying fix the grid. Here we've just gone through a summer of record high 100-degree months of June, July, and August, and the grids performed perfectly, some would say. It certainly hadn't been anywhere near a crisis, so you're looking at some false attacks perhaps here, and that's happened before. It's going to continue to happen. Suppose the Democrats lie, Lynn?
The portion of the ad discussing a ban on all abortions, doctors choosing between healing and jail, women's freedom taken away, the professor considered that a fair claim. I do not. I think it's a protective of human beings. We've got to understand that Sodom and Gomorrah happened when people became dehumanized.
Yes.
And we've got to stop doing that. Now, how do we win in November? Newt Gingrich has five ideas.
Okay.
I think they're wonderful.
Probably.
Number one, ignore the media's effort to get you to focus on 2024 presidential politics and the unending effort to smear Donald Trump.
Exactly.
Point number two.
Stay focused.
Crime, the big sleeper issue of the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that front and center.
Okay.
Number three, the flood of illegal immigrants across the border, and tying that to the overdose deaths now surpassing 100,000 people per year.
More than gun crime.
Well, we've seen, what, is it four now in Hayes County?
Yep.
Fourth, insist on the right of parents to know what is being taught to their children and what is going on in classrooms.
Exactly.
Fifth, insist on a better funded but reformed Pentagon to enable America to stand up to China.
And he didn't even mention the border in there, but that could sure be the
well,
next
yeah,
one.
Well, yeah, he did. Yeah. Third is tied
to you're right.
Illegal immigrants. You know what just comes to mind? I've said this before. I want to say it again. Hayes County is emblematic of what is happening with four kids dead from this drug poisoning situation that involves fentanyl and laced Xanax and Percodin and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What is the number one gateway drug in America?
Marijuana.
You got it. What is the Austin City Council doing?
Essentially legalizing, they're not enforcing the laws.
They ought to have their freaking heads examined, and they ought to go to jail for doing that, in my opinion. That is an open attack on our children to try to get them into a drug culture. And our city council ought to be ashamed, not Mackenzie Kelly, but the rest of them should.
And then there's going to be some other issues that land in the Democrats' lap. Here I'm looking at a story from Axios out of Minneapolis-St. Paul that says the nurses up in Minneapolis-St. Paul are walking out today, going on strike. It involves 15,000 healthcare workers across 16 different hospitals, including 13 of the state's 25 largest hospitals, Lynn. You have healthcare all of a sudden inaccessible because of Joe Biden's union support and all the union folks feeling emboldened to do things like this. That's on top of the Talk 13 story that ran from the AP yesterday that's talking about a railroad strike that's about to happen in the next week or so. If that's the case, in the story it says it's going to take about 175,000 new trucks a day to pick up the slack from goods not being transported on railroads. That's impossible. These are some major issues, you hide and watch, that are going to impact the election and be major impacting factors for our own pocketbooks.
All right, Fox News. House lawmakers set to return to Washington Tuesday, kicking off a hectic three-week legislative session. Congress will have to avert another government shutdown ahead of September the 30th. Personally, I love those shutdowns.
Yep.
I think they're just awesome. All right, that'll put the plug in the jug. No, I mean it. I'll try to explain it maybe tomorrow. Talk 1370, the right choice. Be logical. Remember, you're either an insider
or you're not. I'm Jim Cardle. Have a great Tuesday, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.